Hello. Today I'm talking about the core philosophical difference between conventional medicine and holistic natural health care. Before I get into that topic, though, I do need to explain one thing. If you had signed up last year to follow my podcast, Total Health with Dr. Cage, well, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, you might be wondering what the heck happened to me. Why I suddenly disappeared from sight, at least in the podcast realm. So let me explain that before we get into today's subject. Right after I got the podcast established and had produced several episodes, numerous things started happening all at once. My former house, which had been on the market for many months, suddenly sold. And after many months of searching in a very crazy real estate market, we finally found the perfect house at the perfect price in the perfect place, which is our dream location, actually. And that began a several month long flurry of events to get packed up and moved from two different locations in two states to our new one in a third state, unloading, unpacking, getting settled and all that, which we kind of got most of it done just before winter hit. And we've been adjusting to our new area and all the usual things of finding new stores that have what we need, new friends, and all of those good things. So we are finally settled. I'm back on track at producing content for all my various ways of delivering accurate information about health and consciousness to you. So in addition to this podcast, in case you're unaware, I have a blog on my website. Sometimes I may take the blog test and record it as a podcast, usually not. I have short videos on my YouTube channel, and these are all very nutrient dense. They're different than the classes I teach in the sense that the subject matters don't always line up. If I have a 4-hour class on something that you can watch, I usually don't do a short video on that, except maybe as an introduction. I try to put usable, practical information. You can watch my 5 or 10 minute video and apply that information each day. That's like my guidelines for what I put on my videos. Same with the podcast here. The podcast format allows me to explain things in a little more in depth. Podcasts are usually listened to under different circumstances than when people want to sit down and watch a quick video on something. I also have my Dr. Cage Says online health community. This is a membership community delivered through Patreon, and I have a whole great deal of content that's not available anywhere else, especially in starting with my core health lectures. I have the books I've written. Start with, if you need a reading recommendation, start with Heal Your Life, Heal the World. Links on my website. You get access to my courses, you get links to my Qigong for Health and Longevity classes, and a whole lot more on my website, www.drcagesays, which is spelled drcagesays.org. Start there if you have a health search, and then if you have more questions, there's an email link on my website. Please send me an email, and I do answer those. So, if you've ever maintained a website, you know that no website is ever done. It's always growing and evolving and needs updates and care. Mine's no exception to that when you're trying to deliver as much information as I am. So I'm just in the process of finishing a major upgrade. So if you haven't been back to my website in a while, please check it out. There's always going to be something new there. So with that background, it's all been good things, but it did interrupt my process here with this podcast. So I'm back online, I'm producing content and trying to give you information that you're not going to get in the mainstream media or through very many other sources. So with that, let's get on with today's topic. This subtle subject is the philosophy behind which medical institutions, government agencies, and major corporations do what they do and say what they say, and why it comes out sounding so vastly different than what alternative, natural, holistic healthcare providers are saying about virtually every medical subject imaginable, not just the one you may be thinking of. Specifically, let's consider why there is so much difference between what we in the natural community say and we can prove is accurate compared to what's being spread and put forth by the conventional medical outlets, hospitals, medical agencies and things, government so-called health agencies, large private organizations who kind of masquerade as government agencies and who are in partnership with the government, school systems, universities, and the mainstream media. My biggest disappointment that journalism no longer exists, at least not when it comes to covering health. As a quick example, it is known that eating too much refined sugar is bad for our health. It hurts our immune system. It contributes very strongly to type 2 diabetes. It contributes to heart disease. It acidifies our body's tissues, which in turn can aggravate or cause many other health conditions and illnesses. Yet, many of these medical agencies and institutions I've just mentioned, especially even those that specialize in heart disease and diabetes, are continuing to say that consuming sugar is okay. One simple answer, of course, is money. It's known that many of these famous health organizations that specialize in diabetes have been paid large sums of money by the sugar industry to continue saying that sugar is acceptable for diabetics. Heart associations have been paid to put the blame for heart disease on fat, not on sugar, where it properly belongs. So heart disease remains the number one cause of death in the United States. Serious, unbiased health studies have demonstrated that it is the effects of sugar that cause most heart disease, whereas fat does not. Fat is actually the number one nutrient needed by the heart to operate efficiently. Let me just interject here for a moment to say that the subject of nutrition, there is a huge difference between the forms of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. These are the three macronutrients. Most of our foods are made up of some combination of carbohydrate, protein, and fat. Some are health producing, and other low quality forms of proteins, carbs, and fats can contribute to disease. Now, this is a very important topic I present extensively in many of my online classes, notably my core health lectures. And I have a free 5-page handout that I will email to you when you go to my website and fill out the form on the handout page. Now, back to this major difference in philosophy between conventional medicine and natural medicine. There is certainly what could almost be described as an unholy alliance between the pharmaceutical industry and various professional medical associations, government agencies that have the responsibility to regulate the pharmacy, and the media. The pharmaceutical industry heavily funds most conventional medical schools in the US and in turn dictates a great deal of the curriculum as to what our future doctors are being taught. But here's the question, is that really all there is to it? Financial influence on our health suffers as a result of the greed of big corporations? Well, in my opinion, the subject actually goes deeper than that. Certainly, the financial influence of big pharma is real, and numerous books have been written on that subject. Many doctors seem to believe that the unhealthy narratives they put out about sugar as being good and nutritional supplements are unnecessary and bad. If we don't take out your gallbladder, it'll just keep making more gallstones. They believe that because that's what they were taught in a medical school that was funded and directed essentially by an industry that tells them that that's what they're going to be putting out. But all of these and hundreds of more talking points are easily demonstrated to be false within the realm of holistic natural medicine. I have a book out, probably within the industry, the definitive book on the natural treatment of gallstones. It's on my website, description and a link to buy it. That easily demonstrates that at least 90 to 95% of the cases where a gallbladder has been removed, it is medically unnecessary to remove your gallbladder. Small amount. I occasionally come across a case. Well, yeah, given the state it had gotten to, it probably needed to come out for the best long-term good of the patient. But that's 5% or less, in my opinion. Unfortunately, conventional medical practitioners are just not fully trained in the philosophy of their system of medicine. They do not seem to be trained to question continued bad outcomes, even when they are diligently following the conventional medical standard of care for any particular condition. And that's really huge in my mind. There is a quote that is sometimes attributed to Albert Einstein or Mark Twain or sometimes Ben Franklin. And certainly those three men have put out a lot of legitimate quotes that are worth listening to. And they may have said something like this, but the quote which I'm about to read actually stems from a 1981 publication from Narcotics Anonymous, and it goes like this. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So here we are, the standard of care in the conventional system is drugs and surgery, using drugs and surgeries that didn't exist 50 to 100 years ago in many cases, yet our lifespans were as long or longer in the past as they are now. Following the standard of care, the patient outcomes under conventional medicine continue to get worse and worse. Lifespans are dropping, and they just keep diligently pounding that standard of care mantra while patients die prematurely, diligently being treated on the standard of care. At some point, I really hope that the conventional medical system will wake up and say, you know, we've been doing the standard of care thing on diabetes or heart disease for 40 years now. And the outcomes are no better than when we started. In many cases, they're worse than we started. So we really need to change what we do. Come on, gang. You need to make that intuitive cognitive leap. There are individual conventional doctors who get it. They understand. I've met quite a few of them over the years. And I acknowledge they have a tough job. They are trying to treat people holistically without stepping too far outside the narrow confining box of the standard of care that they risk losing their medical license. Now, I'm recording this in early March 2023. And in the last year, California, the state of California, just signed a bill into law making it a crime for doctors to talk about anything regarding the pandemic or other health issues that contradicts the official narrative. They could lose their license and they could go to jail. And that law was signed into effect. Fortunately, it has already been overturned on appeal. It very clearly violates the First Amendment right to free speech, and it just was never going to survive. But the fact that it was passed by lawmakers, most of whom are attorneys, and should have known better, but didn't care. That's what is concerning to many of us in the medical professions. The risks faced by those well-meaning doctors and nurses who are striving to do the best for the patients, and then they face the problem that what if the best doesn't involve drugs and surgery and it violates the standard of care? That's the big, big problem. You will find these. If you're looking, you don't have access to a naturopathic physician where you live or any other holistic doctor, you know, chiropractors who know nutrition and herbs, oriental medical practitioners who know nutrition and herbs and things like that. If you don't have access to that, you're stuck looking in the medical community, the conventional medical community. I say stuck because the truly good ones that get it are well less than 5% of the total in that world. They will sometimes use terms like biological medicine or functional medicine as a way of letting the world know, hey, I'm doing the best I can here. So if that's what you've got available to you, then yeah, go check them out, you know, and hopefully you'll get better care than people down the road following the standard of care, which doesn't work. The philosophy of the natural holistic world is really quite simple. We all have an innate ability to heal. It's natural. It's encoded in our DNA and in our energy field. And when we give our bodies what they need and take away what they don't, we get better, right? This is the guiding philosophy of most forms of natural alternative medicine, no matter what initials the practitioner may have after their name, whether they're a naturopath or a chiropractor or an oriental medical practitioner or an Ayurvedic practitioner. It doesn't matter, right? This is the flaw. We have ability to heal, and this is key. If we didn't, the human race wouldn't be here. We would have been a footnote in history if we'd ever even made it far enough into the development of the human race to leave anything in the fossil record. So that's the truth. We have an ability to heal. We just need to give our bodies what it needs, starting with nutrition, and take away what it doesn't, and possibly at times stimulate the healing mechanism through things like herbs, or foods, or hydrotherapy, or homeopathy, or many of the other individual therapies that are available that fit with that philosophy. The guiding philosophy of the conventional medical world, meanwhile, is, that's a really good question, come to think of it. What is their philosophy? Try asking a medical doctor that. What is the philosophy you use when you treat heart disease? What is the philosophy you use when you treat arthritis, for example? Oh, well, the philosophy of treating arthritis is we use all these different pain relievers until the problem's bad enough that we can do a joint replacement surgery. Well, how do you heal? Oh, we don't. The philosophy of the conventional medical world, the standard of care world, has become that nothing is curable, which is a far cry from about 200 years ago when Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, a medical doctor who also founded the system of therapeutics known as homeopathy, he wrote in his book, The Organon of Medicine, the physician's highest calling, his only calling, is to restore the sick to health, to cure, as it is termed. That is what we are all supposed to be doing. If the philosophy really is in the conventional world, if it really is what it appears to be, then it is, the philosophy is sell more drugs. Drugs are good. And they bully everyone into line. In this system, you've got to toe the line and you're bullied into it under threat of losing your license and losing your livelihood. So if you're looking to be truly healthy, to live up to your optimum human potential, your optimal lifespan, to accomplish what you're here on earth to do, you really owe it to yourself to find a healthcare provider that subscribes and embraces and practices a philosophy that will actually help you do that. That's what we're here for. The human race is not here to be perpetually sick, one foot in the grave your entire life, and then die an agonizingly slow, painful death. We're here to be thriving, vibrantly thriving in good health, and lifespans 2 to 4 times what the conventional world will tell you and what the actual current average is in the US. That's the potential. I talk about all of that in my courses and books on my website, www.drcagesays.org, drcagesays.org. And until next time, this is Dr. Cage wishing you great success on your health journey.